You are listening to a Sun Life podcast. We pray that you will be blessed with the teaching of God's word. For more sermons, visit sunlife.org.au. Watching that video for the first time really moved me, because the guys we see on screen are some of the strongest guys that I have come to know at Sun Life Church, but yet they would say things like, "When I'm weak, he is strong." That as a bloke, as a manly man, it's okay to be weak. I want to talk about that this morning, because the culture we live in is a culture that says that if you want to be a mighty man, if you want to be a strong man, you've got to be tough. And I agree with that. You know, the culture would say to us, if you want to be a man, you've got to play footy, right? And not play bocce. Or if you want to be a manly man, you've got to eat like a thick steak, and not order a Caesar salad, or you've got to drive a Ford Mustang GT and not a Toyota Yaris. That's the culture that the world will tell us. But as I read the scripture, I realize it's okay to be weak as guys trying to figure out this thing called life. It's okay to be weak and say, I don't have the answer in raising up my kids or in leadership. But at least I know that when I'm weak, I am strong. So the passage that I want to unpack with this morning is in 2 Corinthians, the passage that Ken Lee in his video presentation quoted. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12, just two verses this morning, verses 9 and 10. If you don't have the Bible, the passage is behind me. Let me read the Word of God, and I will pray, and we'll get right into it. But he, that is Jesus, said to me, and that's Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Father God, I pray now that you would help me to unpack your wonderful word, not only to the fellas here this morning, but to everyone here this morning. I pray, God, that you will speak to us, that you would challenge us, that we would leave this place change for your glory and for the goodness of those around us. Will you help me this time? In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let me paint you the context. And Paul is writing a letter to the Corinthians, a group of Christians in Corinth. This is his second letter. One of the problems of the people in Corinth was this thing about being prideful and boastful. Because the people of Corinth, they were very good at what they did. And Paul was inspired by the Spirit to write and to deal with the topic of puffing up yourself. Because we know the Corinthians were very good with all the spiritual giftings and all that they had. And in his second letter, in chapter 12, he's talking about the area of boasting. How they were not to boast in themselves, but boast in God. And in this chapter here, Paul would talk about how God would take him in this vision into the third heaven. And there's this fresh revelation of God. Indescribable things that he saw of God. But somehow, God would give him this thorn in the flesh. This messenger from Satan, to slow him down, to help him from not boasting of this vision. And it got me questioning during the week. I mean, we're told to boast in the Lord. We're told not to boast in ourselves, but boast in the things of God. And here is Paul in this wonderful vision. He's in the third heaven. He sees God in a new way. And he wants to share people about this wonderful experience of God. But yet God would say, no, I'm not going to let you do it. This elation here, I'm going to stop it. I'm actually going to give you this thorn in the flesh so that you would not boast in that particular vision. I love that. Because I think sometimes as Christians, we love to tell the world around us how good our God is. And that's a good thing. God is so good in blessing this church with a new building. God is so good that we get this building on Oxford Street. God is so good that we're a growing church. God is so good that we have 60 children in this church here. God is so good to us. But if we're not careful, deep down, what we're saying is that I'm better than you. My experience with God is better than your experience with God. My intimacy with God is better than your intimacy with God. In fact, look how good am I. I'm actually better than you. Look how good is this church. This church is better than yours. We've got to be very, very careful. Because what starts off being really positive, which focuses on God, may, if we're not careful, end up pointing to ourselves. So you see, I think Paul, in this wonderful vision, maybe he was boasting in God, but God knew that if God didn't intervene, Paul would end up boasting upon himself. And in this wonderful chapter, God would send this thorn in the flesh, a messenger from Satan. We have no idea what this is. Scholars would say it could be a physical disability, a olfactory dysfunction, there's something wrong with his nose. Some would say it was epilepsy, or it was just a demonic harassment, or some form of temptation or persecution. We don't know what it is, but what we do know in the text, if we read chapter 12, is he pleaded with God three times, "Would you please take it away? I don't want this thing in my life because it's hindering me from doing gospel work." I mean, that's a good prayer. God, I love doing your work. I love proclaiming your good news. But whatever it is, it's hindering me. It's slowing me down. Would you please take it away? Three times he prayed. But for those who know the text, God would say, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Paul heard from Jesus, and Jesus says, "Nope, I'm not taking away. I'm not going to remove it. It's going to be there. It's going to be there. My grace is sufficient for you." And I love how Paul doesn't counter opt for God. He doesn't, you know, plead with God for the fourth time. He doesn't say, "Well, can we meet halfway? Maybe it comes on, it comes off." God says, "No, I'm not taking that away." And then he would say in verse 10, "Therefore I will boast all the more gladly of my weakness." I got it, God. Your way, not my way. God, I don't understand this. I don't like it. It's still in my life. I can't get rid of it. But I know that you have a plan. You have a purpose. It's still there. It's still nagging me. And I know maybe for the rest of my day, it's not going to leave me. I get it, God. You're in control. Therefore, you know what, God? I'm going to boast gladly of my weakness. And he continues on. And I would imagine to the day he died, that thorn in the flesh, whatever it is, whatever is nagging him, whatever is hindering him, whatever is slowing him down, was still there to the day he met Jesus Christ. It was gone. Now, that's the context. And every good son of life will say, "Well, Pastor, what has that got to do with me?" I'm glad you asked. What are your 3 points of the sermon? I'm glad you asked. I titled the sermon, "When I'm Weak, I Am Strong." Three observations I can see from the text here. Three observations. Our weakness is covered by God's grace. Our weakness creates space for God's power. And our weakness is our opportunity to boast. Three things that I want to encourage all the fellas here this morning, but also the ladies as well. And every one of us here. Yes, I know it's Father's Day. But I want to honor not just only the Father, but all the mighty men in the house here. But then I don't want the ladies to shut off, because this is for you as well. So I want everyone to listen to what I have to say here. Those three things, those three observations that I want to unpack with you this morning. Let's look at the very first one. Covered by God's grace. You see, in that chapter, three times he prayed, "Would you please remove this thorn in the flesh? Will you take it away?" And Jesus says no. In fact, if you remember Jesus' story in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to the Father, three times he asked the Father, "Would you please take away this cup, this wrath?" In other words, Jesus would say, "I don't want to go to the cross. I don't want to suffer the pain. I don't want to take the sin of humanity upon my shoulders and die a horrific death. I don't want to go there. Would you please take that away from me?" But yet the Father said no. Let me say this, fellas, and let me say this to everyone here. There will be moments in life where there's something that's nagging you, something that's in your life that's slowing you down to lead people, to serve God, to be a better Christian, and you are praying to God, "Would you please take it away? God, it's hindering me. God, I don't want it in my life. God, if it's not here, I'll go and do greater things." But for some reason, it's still there. It's still there. And God, in His wisdom, in His sovereignty, decides not to remove it. He places it there. Is God judging you? Is God hating you? Absolutely not. God loves you. God knows what He's doing. And He puts that weakness in you. And you're praying to God and you're asking God to remove it. But yet God was saying, no, I'm not going to remove it. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to cover it with my grace. See, the text does not say this, that I will take it away and I will replace it with my grace. No. The text says that it's still there, but my grace is sufficient. Now, we don't see it in the English text, but in the Greek text, Paul talks about how the fact that God would not remove this, but whatever God replaces with, this word sufficient, is this overflowing, overwhelming, abundant, non-ceasing grace of God that is upon him so that he would cope and keep pressing forward. That's what we see in the original text right here. And I love that about God's grace. That God's grace is always greater than circumstances. You think about our salvation. You think about the day that God saved you. What was your circumstance then? You didn't want God. You hated God. You're a sinner. You don't deserve the love of God. But yet God would still save you purely by His grace. Because God's grace is always greater than the circumstance we're in. I think about this great church called Sun Life Church here. I don't deserve to be in this church. I don't deserve to be a pastor of this church. I don't deserve to be in fellowship with you or in fellowship with God. I don't deserve to be a son of the Most High. I don't deserve for God to even hear my prayers. But that's God's grace, that God would save you, that God would give you this wonderful church, that you would belong here, that you can pray to God, that God would listen to you. That's all God's grace. It's greater than your circumstances. But let me say this, that God's grace did not end at salvation. The text will say that God's grace is given to you over and over again to sustain you for the rest of your Christian walk. God's grace sustains us. God's grace pushes us forward. We keep moving forward because God's grace is with us. And I love that. I love that God's grace is for you and I so that we keep pressing forward. For some of us, I think we want to do great things for God. We want to serve God more. We want to be more active in the church. We want to evangelize more. But we use the excuse that there's something in me that stops me from doing it. Until the day God removes that, I won't be as effective. The day God takes that thorn away, I won't do it. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe some of you, you're just waiting. You've been praying for the last few years and you're saying, God, you remove that. And once that's removed, then I will do your work. Maybe through me this morning, whatever you're struggling with, that's your thorn in the flesh. Maybe God will not remove it. God does not promise to remove the thorns of life, but He does promise His abundant grace for life. He promises and He gives that to you and I. Maybe you have a disability, a hurtful past, a lack of confidence, a repetitive sin. And you're saying to yourself, the day that I overcome that, I'll be a better Christian. I'll be a better father. I'll be a better leader. Friends, maybe that day will never come. Maybe God has left that in you so that you depend upon His grace to keep you moving forward, that you can walk out in faith. Take that step of faith and let God's grace carry you on. Every step, God's grace is there to capture us when we fall. Every step, God's grace will be there to help us cope, to overcome our weakness. Every step, God's grace will sustain us to the very, very end. You see, Paul knew that. In his first letter, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10, he would say this, "But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them. Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." You see that? I am only who I am by the grace of God. I work hard. I do whatever I can. But it's only by the grace of God that sustains me, that keeps me going forward. And that's for you and I as well. We keep pressing forward. We don't slow down. We don't wait till the day that God removes that thorn in the flesh. We say, well, God, if that's it, if I have that, and you've placed that in me, well, God, just like Paul, I know that your grace is sufficient for me. I claim that over my life. I use that and I keep walking forward. And I keep doing the things that you want me to do. I try my best to be the best mother, the best father at home, the best leader, the best Christian in the community. I do the best I can. Because your grace is sufficient. Your grace covers my weakness. For some of you this morning, I want you to pray that prayer later on. That God, may your overwhelming, abundant grace cover my thorn. Cover my weakness. That I'm not going to use that as an excuse to slow down, but I'm going to step out in faith. That every time I step, your grace will be there. It will sustain me. It will carry me. And I will cope with whatever comes my way. Amen. Point one. Point two is that God's grace not only is there for us, but we have the power of God. That in our weakness, it creates this space for God's power to kick in. You notice in verse 9b, after Jesus would say that my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. And at the very end of verse 10, for when I am weak, then I am strong. I mean, how good is that? That whatever thorn, whatever weakness we may have, not only we get the grace of God, we also get the power of God. The power of God is for you and I. I take you to 1 Corinthians again, the very first letter that Paul wrote in the very first chapter, chapter 1, verse 26 to 29. Paul would say this, brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were noble birth. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. Can you see that? God took the nobodies to shame the so-called somebodies. That's what he did. He did that so that ultimately that we would never boast upon our strength, but we would boast upon his strength and his power. Another good passage that's very well known, a verse in the Christian circle, is Philippians 4:13. And I can do all things through him who gives me strength or power. Now this, I must say, as I sidetracked a bit, is one of those passages or one of those verses in the Bible where a lot of Christians, if we're not careful, we can take this totally out of context. Is that right? We quote this passage. We might tattoo it on ourselves or we put it in our book because we think that, well, he's the one who's going to give me power and strength. I can swim to rottenness and back because I have the strength of God, even though I can't even swim 50 meters, but I'll do it anyway. And then you struggle halfway and you blame and you say, God, where's the power in you? And that's happened before. And we might laugh about it, but there are Christians who would take this passage out of context. The context of Philippians is Paul is talking about contentment. How whether he's got a lot or he has nothing, whether he's struggling or whether there's any form of temptation or any weakness, he knows that God's strength is upon him, so he will still do what needs to be done. Are you with me? It's in relationship to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. See, for some of us here, we're weak and we don't know what we're doing, so what we do is we hide it. We don't want anyone to know. Because we're afraid that we let the people around us know about it. We don't feel mighty. We don't feel strong. We don't feel courageous. We don't tell anyone. We don't confess. We don't talk to someone. But let me say, it's okay to be weak. It's okay to say, I don't have the answer. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to say, I don't know Malachi chapter 2 verse 15. I did that last week. I don't understand that verse. It's okay to say, I don't have the answer in raising up my children. I don't know what I'm doing in leadership. It's okay. In fact, when you admit it's okay, in your weakness, that creates space for God's power. And when you do that, wow, something happens. You can't boast upon your own strength. You can only boast in the power and strength of God. And I know some of you in this church, you're very gifted. You're very good at what you do. Keep up that great work. That's amazing. You've got a natural ability. Continue that. Excel in that. But can I make this comment here? Capable Christians with magnificent results display a miniature God. Incapable Christians with magnificent results display a magnified God. Are you with me? That when we are weak, and when we're incapable, and when we don't know what we're doing, and then the result is like mind-boggling, what do we display? A magnified God. Because it was God's strength, and it was God's power that got us doing what we did. Therefore, it's okay to say that I'm weak. It's okay to say that I don't know what I'm doing. It's okay to say, hey bro, I need some help, I need a chat, I need some advice. It's okay, because when you begin to produce magnificent result, it is only by the power and strength of God that is working in you and through you. That's when God is most glorified. Acts 1:8. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. You know the context here, right? You've got these 12 disciples with a group of leaders. They're quite scared. They're not quite sure what's going on. And then there's this wonderful word that there'll be power. It's going to come upon you. And God's going to use you in your weakness to do some great things. Now, I'm thinking about this during the week. Like, the 12 disciples, there was really nothing special about them. I mean, they weren't like rugby players, like strong people. They weren't like UFC fighters. They weren't like wrestlers with those neck muscles, the muscle that extends from the earlobe to the tip of your shoulder. Who were they? They were fishermen. Some said that maybe a couple of them were carpenters, a tax collector. I'm not having a go at anyone here, but I'm saying, there's nothing really macho of being a tax collector. Ken, I'm just throwing it out there. I love you. I'm not having a go at you here, Ken. There's nothing special. I mean, they weren't no like SAS commandos. They were ordinary people, ordinary men, but with the power of God did extraordinary things. So ultimately, God gets all the glory and all the praises so that in our weakness, it's okay. It creates this wonderful space for God to come in. I know in my moments, in my struggle as a pastor, there are many things that I've done, many of my mistakes, and I would not believe what I've said or what I've done or how I've treated people or how I've hurt people, but yet God will still use me. I know as I work with you, some of you here, there have been those conversations where we're scratching our head. We're saying, we don't know what we're doing. Can I be honest with you? Going to the Oxford Street? I'm not that, confident pastor saying, yes, we're going to get there and we're going to be okay and financially we're going to be fine. No, I'm like, God, I don't know what I'm doing. What are you putting me in? And I think that's okay. Sometimes I even say, I don't know whether I'm raising my boys the right way. I don't know whether I'm modeling godliness to my children. I don't know whether I've got it together. So not for a moment you think that your pastor, he's got it all sorted out, because he hasn't. He's a mess. He's a real mess. But I would say that that's okay. Because in my weakness, I'm going to know that the power of God is going to come through. And if I do something extraordinary, it's not me. It's only by the power of God in me and through me. Therefore, I would praise God and not myself. So to the fellas out there, whatever your thorn is, whatever is holding you back, whatever is slowing you down, your insecurity, your weaknesses, it's okay. It's okay. May you hold to the promises and claim this, that God's power is for you. That when you are weak, you are strong. Amen. My third point is this, is that an opportunity to boast. Now, boast about what? What does the text say? Boast about your weaknesses. And that's strange. Look in verse 9b and 10. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecution, calamities. In other words, I'm going to boast on all those things that come my way. And I'll tell you why and how. You see, Paul could boast because ultimately he knew that there is grace from God, there's power from God. That's point one and point two of my sermon. Paul knew that in life, there'll be certain things that'll come to our way, the Christian's way, and we can either run away from it or tackle it head on. You see, for some of us, whatever struggles, whatever thing we're facing, whatever weakness it is in our desperation, instead of running to the nearest bookstore and buy the latest book on how to get your life together, or go and look for some faith healer and get him or her to pray over you so that that thing is gone, I think sometimes we need to realize maybe that is our thorn and we run towards God. We run towards God and we say, God, if this is something you've placed in my life to slow me down, if this is something that I know for the rest of my day, it's not going to go. Well, God, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to hold it to the promises that you're going to give me your grace so that I can cope. And you're going to give me your power so that I can overcome it. I have this neck issue that's been going now for 8 years plus. I don't know why. I remember the day when it came upon me. I was holding my little boy, Oliver, 8.5 years ago in the hospital. And I was having a chat with him, you know, father to son chat. And I was saying, buddy, you know, you're keeping your mother awake. You've got to go to sleep. You know, we're all sleeping at 3 a.m. in the morning. You're out playing, go to sleep, and then I get this pinch on my neck. And I'm going, well, that's just one of those neck strains, because I'm probably looking at my son, and it's going to go away after a couple of weeks, maybe a couple of months, it'll go away. But it's been here for the last 8.5 years. I have seen physio. I have seen chiro. I have seen acupuncture people. I've tried Chinese herbal medicine. I have had people lay their hands upon me. I've had people at the church staff look at my table and my screen and my chair. I have had a lot of people praying for me. Massage. I've tried the Bigfoot massage on Newcastle Street. I've tried everything. And the pain is still there. And you know what's really annoying? Because during the week, I study a lot. Okay, I'm still a student. Because I'm studying the text, I'm studying the scripture, I'm looking at the original text, I'm trying to look at the commentaries, and as I read, you know what's going to happen? It hurts. Every week. And I say, God, why are you doing this to me? God, you know that this is my life, that I have to study the text, I have to present the word to your people, but every time I go and read, it hurts. And it's annoying. In fact, it's hurting right now. There's not a moment it's not hurting. I'm in constant pain. I'm just praying for the day that I have the courage to buy a little bell so I can ring so my wife can help me out, but I'm not going to do that. And I've had friends who said to me, Bin, pray harder. I prayed harder. Fast, I fast. Even Tao was not here. Tao, our wonderful orthopedic surgeon, gave me this wonderful eBay neck massage, shoulder thing, because he heard about my sad story. I've tried that. I look weird with this funny thing over my neck. It's still there. And I've come to terms that maybe that is my thorn in the flesh. Then to the day I die, it's still there. But I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to say it's too hard. I know that God's grace is for me. I know that His strength is with me. So I accept that. I would even boast about that. I take delight in that. And it's okay as Christian to delight and boast in your suffering. Listen carefully. It does not mean that as Christians we're looking for suffering. No. Okay. We're not looking for weakness. Oh, pity me, pity me, pity me. No. As Christians we're not like a weak, a doormat for someone to trot upon. No. As Christian, we don't say that I enjoy suffering, I enjoy weakness. Oh, please, suffering, come knocking at my front door. No. As Christian, it means that if there is a suffering, if there is a weakness, fellas, if there's something that's nagging you, it's okay to embrace it. It's okay to take delight in it. You don't run away from it, you run towards God and you say, God, your word, Your word promised me that you'll give me grace so I can cope. Your word promised me that you give me power so I can continue my great work. So God, I hold to those promises. So I will boast. And I will boast. May it never be a stumbling block. Fellas, listen carefully for you guys. May it never be a stumbling block. Whatever is your thorn, may it never hold you down to be the father that God has called you to be the husband that God wants you to be the Christian that you should be. May you never say things like, well, I can't do it because it's just too hard because this thing is still with me. I don't want to do this because I don't have the ability. May we take delight in our weakness. May we trust God more. May we depend upon God more. May we pray that God's grace and God's power rest upon us so that we continue to say, well, that is who I am. That is who I am. I will continue to run that race. I want to conclude by saying this, is that whatever God throws at you in life, fellas, maybe there's something nagging you, a disability, a sin, an issue, a past. I want you to know that God will give you the grace and the power to keep pressing forward. You think about Moses. This was a guy in the Bible, the Old Testament, who stuttered. That didn't stop him. Think of Gideon. He was a coward. That didn't stop him. David, this skinny shepherd boy, that didn't stop him. Peter denied Jesus 3 times. That didn't stop him. Paul, the thorn in his flesh, that didn't stop him. What's your thorn? What's slowing you down? Is this the day you say, I will take that leap of faith. I will go and do what God wants me to do. And I will trust that His grace and His power is upon me. It's okay to be weak, because when I am weak, I am strong. Amen? Let me pray. I want to pray for all the fellas this morning here. Lord, thank you that it is okay for us to be weak. Thank you that in your word you promise us that when we are weak, we are strong. I'm going to just throw it out there this morning. Maybe there are some people here, maybe for the fellas because it's Father's Day, with all eyes closed. Is there something nagging you? Is there something that is your thorn? Is there a weakness in your life? Is there something that you've prayed to God for the last 5-10 years and it's still there? What is God doing to you? What is God showing you? Is God slowing you down? Is God reminding you of His grace? Is God creating space for His power? Have you just kind of swept that away and ignored it? Is this morning the morning where you say, God, I am going to do the things that you want me to do. I will take charge of my family. I will be the best husband to my wife, the best father to my children, the best son to my father. And I'm not going to let that thing slow me down or hold me down. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your power. Is that you this morning? Is that you this morning that you want to make the commitment? That God, as of this day, I am going to do the things that you want me to do despite my weakness, because I know that when I am weak, I am actually strong. Because the power is not mine but yours. Is that you this morning? Is God speaking to you this morning? If that is you this morning, I want to pray for you. I want to mark this date here, this day here. The day where you say, I'm going to keep running that race. I'm not going to give up. Don't throw the towel in, fellas. If God is speaking to you, I want you to stand up right now. I want to see who you are, and I want to pray for you. This is your moment. If that is you, you stand up. Yes, I see you. If there is a weakness, there's something you've prayed for, and it's still there, and you say, God, take it away from me. But God is not going to take away. God is going to leave it there. But God promises that His grace is sufficient, that His power is for you. If that is you, you stand now. I see you. If God's speaking to you, you stand. I want to pray for you. Anyone else? God is dealing with you. Anyone else? Father God, you see the men who stand this morning. You know their struggles. You know the weakness. But God, you're such a good God. You're a gracious God. You're a powerful God. So God, I hold unto your promises. And I pray and I claim this over the lives of all the fellas standing up here. That you will allow them to keep running that race. That your grace is sufficient for them. That your power is upon them. And when they are weak, they're actually strong. Thank you so much, God, for the wonderful men in this church. Thank you so much for every single one of them. May you grow them. May you grow us. Oh, may we be good role model to the people in this church. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can I ask everyone to be upstanding as we just worship God? And I just want to quickly say one thing before we sing. Is Amy? Where's Amy? Amy there. Everyone, if you know Amy, Amy is our wonderful Canadian YWAMA. This is our last service here. She's heading back on Tuesday, is that right, to Canada. I still don't understand why, but anyhow, she wants to go. I mean, it's cold there. I mean, the guys are hotter here. But we love you. We thank God for placing you here. I want to pray for you right now. Lord, I pray for Amy. Would you bless her? Will you send her back to Canada with your will upon her life? Thank you so much that she's been part of our family for this period of time. But I know, God, that you've got a great plan for her, a great purpose for her. So I pray, Lord, that you continue to make her path straight. We love her. We pray for her. We pray for a special blessing upon her. So Amy, we love you, Amy. God bless you. People, say goodbye to her because this is her last service. And I pray, and I'm not prophesizing here, but you'll come back here soon. Come back here soon because the weather's nicer here and the guys are better here. Did I just say that out loud? Hey, shall we worship God? We worship God. And don't forget to stay back. We're having nachos. Nacho for machos. God bless you. Let's worship God.